Hello and welcome back to Bible Focus. This is our third session in our series titled The Church Is. And if you went out onto the streets and you asked someone, what is the church? I imagine many people would say a building. But the Bible talks about the church in a very different light. The church is not a human construct. It's not a nice idea. It's God's design. And so this week, I want to look at the different ways that the Bible describes the church, and so we can truly understand what the church is and how it's meant to function. So in our first session on Monday, we looked at the fact that the church is not a building or an institution. It's a people. And in our second session yesterday, we looked at one of the common analogies used to describe the church, and that is the body of Christ. And so today we're going to look at another analogy that's used to describe the church, and that is the bride of Christ. Now, if the body of Christ is Paul's favorite analogy to describe the church, I would hazard a guess that the bride is probably a close second. The bride of Christ is referred to a lot within scriptures. And as all analogies, it helps us see what Christ's relationship is with his church, with his people. So let's look at this analogy in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, God initiates relationship with the people of Israel, with the descendants of Abraham. And we see this imagery of marriage being used. So in Isaiah 54 verse 5, it says, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called God of all the earth." In Jeremiah 3 verse 14, it says, "Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband. I will choose you from one town or two from a clan and bring you to Zion." In Jeremiah 31, 32, it says, "It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, even though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." So as we can see from these passages, God describes himself as a husband to the people of Israel, to the people of God. Now, we know that God is not literally married to Israel, but he's using this metaphor to show us that Israel are not just a people that he rules and that he leads, but it's also a people who will be the object of his love and his faithfulness. And so this metaphor is very deliberate, and God uses it to demonstrate his deep, faithful, loving nature to his people. But as we know, if you read the Old Testament, Israel were constantly unfaithful. So many times they rejected him, so many times they went astray, did their own things, cheated on him with other lovers. But even though that was the case, God remained faithful to his people. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, and the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation, to those who love him and keep his commandments." Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." Psalm 119 verse 90, "Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth as it stands." Lamentations 3 verse 22 to 23, "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So no matter how far they went, no matter how many times they lay with other lovers, no matter how many times they rejected him, he always remained faithful. You can see the true depth of his love and his devotion for his people, and it adds real weight to this imagery of him being a husband. I encourage you to read the book of Hosea, because God commanded the prophet Hosea to marry Gomer, a woman who had been unfaithful to him. This marriage was a living parable of God's relationship with Israel. And in Hosea chapter 3 verse 1, it says, "Go, now show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites." Despite Gomer's infidelity, Hosea remained committed to her. And ultimately, it's a symbol, it's an imagery of God's commitment to his people. And so in the Old Testament, we see that God refers to himself as a husband to the people of God, to Israel. And so this imagery is used to demonstrate his great love and his great devotion to his people. But this is not just an idea that you see within the Old Testament. It's also carried through into the New Testament. But it gets so much better, because this promise of God being a husband is not just for the ethnic Jews or the nation of Israel, but now it's for all nations. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for all are one in Christ." So now in Christ, a people have been joined together. So there's not one deal that's for the Jews and one deal that is for the Gentiles. That no, together we have all been grafted into one body, and therefore we've been grafted into one bride, waiting ready for our husband, who is Christ. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her through the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Christ Jesus shows the true depth of his love and his commitment for his bride because he takes on flesh and he dies for her. He sacrifices himself for his bride. What love, what devotion, what faithfulness. You never need to wonder if Jesus loves you because he demonstrated it on the cross. And the hard part for us fellas is that we are called to do the same. But notice too that the church is called to be without stain, wrinkle, blemish, and to be holy and blameless. So the call of the bride, the call of the church, is not just to cover ourselves up, but rather that we would come to him and we would allow him to wash his bride, cleanse her, to make her without stain, wrinkle, blemish, to present the bride to himself as holy and blameless. You see, this is a process of becoming beautiful. Someone said it like this: the bride on a wedding day is not meant to be sexy. The bride is meant to be beautiful. Christ's intention is not just to die for his bride, but to make her beautiful, to make her without stain, wrinkle, blemish, to present her to himself as one that is holy and blameless. The church's beauty is not about outward appearance, it's not about worldly attractiveness, but it's about a deep transformative beauty that comes from being holy and set apart for him and by him. And this beauty does not come by ticking boxes, but rather it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's this ongoing process of sanctification, making us holy, blameless, ready for the wedding supper. But since we haven't reached this point yet, since this is an ongoing process, we are currently in a betrothal period. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul says, "For I feel the divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." And so Paul uses this imagery of the church being betrothed to Christ, that we are awaiting this future union. In biblical times, a betrothal was binding. It's not like it is today. And so it is with us, the church. We are betrothed to him. We are being made ready, being made beautiful, awaiting the ultimate wedding feast when he returns. And this wedding feast we read about in Revelation chapter 19, for it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." There is a final wedding feast that's going to take place, and the bride, the church, will be made beautiful, will come into everything that he intends. And this will take place at the end of time, and this union between God and man will happen, and we will be united forever. This is incredible, but this is not just a big picture idea. That in fact, marriage here on earth is meant to reflect these realities. John Piper says marriage is meant by God to put that gospel reality on display to the world. So these truths that we know about Christ and the church are meant to be on display in our earthly marriages as an example to the world. But I'll leave that there. No pressure. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have today here on Bible Focus. I really do hope that you have been blessed and encouraged by what you've heard today. This is an incredible reality. And if you want to listen to this message again or find any of the messages from our series so far, you can find them on our website, gnba.net. That's gnba.net. There you'll find this program and a whole host of other biblical podcasts and programs which will bless you. But join me tomorrow at the exact same time where we look at the fact that the church is God's agent in the world. So I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I'll see you in the next one.